Justly deserve that eternal and eternal punishment. confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God
to all of you.
And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
When I awake, I am still with thee. Hallelujah.
Thou hast laid thine hand upon me.
Hallelujah.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Almighty God, who through thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly beseech thee that as thou dost put into our minds good desires, so by thy continuing help we may bring the same to good effect. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Reading from the Augsburg Confession, chief article of
faith, Article 28A of Ecclesiastical Power. There has been a great controversy concerning the power of bishops, in which some have awkwardly confounded the power of the church and the power of the sword. And from this confusion, every very great wars and tumults have resulted. While the pontiffs, emboldened by the power of the keys, not only have instituted new services and burdened consciences with reservation of cases and ruthless excommunications, but have also undertaken to transfer the kingdoms of this world and to take the empire from the emperor. These wrongs have long since been rebuked in the church by learned and godly men. Therefore, our teachers, for the comforting of men's consciences, were constrained to show the difference between the power of the church and the power of the sword, and taught that both of them, because of God's commandment, are to be held in reverence and honor as the chief blessings of God on earth. This is our confessional reading. Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 13 through 15. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So far our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading from the first epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So far, our epistle reading. And anoint him. And very early in the morning, first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things.
Holy Ghost, of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood upon the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. the gospel reading as my text this morning, but once again, I don't know that I specifically have a text. I'm going to be all over the place. I hope you can follow. But I'd like to read the last verse of the gospel reading for this morning. And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Please be seated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We're a relatively small parish who have suffered recently the deaths of four of our members, including our pastor. And now, with David's son, Scott, Dean, it's five. What could be better for mourning people than the story of the resurrection of our Lord? And yet, this gospel reading, maybe the primary example, that the accounts of the resurrection amongst his people are full of all sorts of fear, trembling, confusion, rushing about, misunderstanding. And we might wonder, how can this be? Because after all, during his earthly ministry, he had very clearly showed his authority over death. Remember Jairus' daughter? Dead young girl. Luke's account says he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And then there's the son of the widow at Nain. Remember him? They're carrying him out to bury him. And Jesus lays his hand on what we would call the coffin. And they stop. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And of course, there's his friend Lazarus, to whose sister Jesus said, as they were outside of the tomb discussing what was going on, "I am the resurrection and the life." Remember Friday night in our Good Friday service, Pastor Peterson pointed to that, the seven I am statements of Jesus in John's gospel, and pointed that one out especially. And then he comes to the tomb, asks him to roll the stone away, and Lazarus' sister said, "Lord, it's going to stink. He's 4 days dead." And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. But I think we can maybe understand better how there might be some confusion if we think back, and of course, we got our service last week snowed out and didn't celebrate Palm Sunday. But he had just on Sunday entered Jerusalem in a great victory celebration. They had sung Hosanna, he had entered Jerusalem, they were recognizing him as the promised Messiah, David's son. "Behold," from the prophet Isaiah, "your king comes to you, lowly, riding on a beast of burden." They thought the fulfillment of prophecy and the new king ruling from Jerusalem was about to be set up. But then comes Thursday night, a late night arrest in the garden. Three trials during the night. Well, actually, you could say four, I guess. First with the Sanhedrin, the Jewish rulers. Then they drag him to Pilate, who then tries to pass him off to Herod. And Herod sends him back to Pilate. And early, fairly early, Friday morning, he who they were expecting to take over as ruler in Jerusalem, beaten, bloodied, battered, spit upon and made fun of, is nailed to a cross. And before sundown, before the Sabbath, their which day begins for the Jews, when the sun goes down, is the beginning of the new day. He's dead and taken down from the cross. We might understand a little better if we could understand their mourning, how their responses were so varied on Easter morning. Luke records the response when reports came back from the tomb that angels had announced that he is risen. Luke records it this way. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Resurrection. Something they're really not expecting and unable to quite handle. The risen Christ is the same as they knew him, and yet different. He is risen with his physical body. From Luke, he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe for joy, he marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And Matthew tells us how the women came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. And we just sang about how he offered the marks of his crucifixion to Thomas, who said, "Unless I stick my fingers into the nail marks in his hands and cast my hand into his side, I will not believe." And he appears. Here you go, Thomas. The problem for them, John says, "For as yet they did not know the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead." Easter evening. The men are heading home to Emmaus, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, talking about what had gone on. And Jesus joins them, and they don't recognize him. "What are you guys talking about?" "Well, what's been going on here in Jerusalem?" "What's been going on?" he asked. "Well, we thought he was going to redeem Israel. And now, he's been arrested and crucified." And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Scriptures, by the way, at that time, of course, were the Old Testament.
7-mile-long Bible study of the Old Testament, explaining to them that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer these things. If we think, and I think it's easy for us to kind of slip into thinking of Easter being simply about the fact that Jesus was dead and came back to life, then as yet we do not understand the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. I've got a good, bad example. I hope I don't turn you on your head with a good, bad example. But it's this. 30 years ago, a new translation of the scriptures came out, called itself God's Word, and said it was going to translate new theory of translation, and going to say things in a way that people, whether they were associated and knew the language that the church uses or not, would be able to understand it. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he calls Christ the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Listen to this. He is the very first person of those who have died to come back to life. We just talked about three, did we not? But those three are dead again, right? Listen to what Paul said in context. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. Last time I was in this pulpit, we talked about Jesus saying, before Abraham was, I am. Claiming the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush as his own. Before Abraham was, I am. A kind of an eternal present, if you will. And in John's revelation, Jesus identifies himself this way. I am the Alpha. This is the risen Christ, by the way. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our alphabet, the A and the Z, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty, who is and was and is to come, the eternal being. In Adam all die, because descended from Adam, we are born sinners and sin. And the wages of sin is death. On Friday, Pastor Peterson pointed us to the last words as they're known of Christ from the cross, it is finished. And he pointed out that in the original language it's one word, tetelestai, in the perfect tense, meaning an event that has occurred but still stands, it's effective today, and it goes on into the future. This tetelestai is the pivot point of human history. It is here where the wages of sin, or death, is paid for you and for me and for all men. And if we get our mind around that, then we understand the scriptures that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer and to die and to rise again. As Isaiah the prophet
pointed out 600 years before.
And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death
forever.
The Easter message is not he came back to life, but he is risen, perfect tense, describing an event that happened in the past, holds true today, and continues into the future. And in fact, in this case, continues for eternity. The church has done well with its historic Easter greeting and response. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Giver of life. We thank you for all the mercies you granted to our sister Marge, Brother Ken Meyer, Joe Hall, Scott Dean, David's son. We thank you for all the mercies granted to them during their earthly life, especially for calling them to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort their mourners and their families and all who mourn, with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a happy reunion in heaven. Lead all of us to remember that we are mortal and prepare our hearts to fall asleep in faith and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world, Head of the Church, Good Shepherd of your flock, we thank and praise you for all the blessings and mercy you bestowed on your departed servant, Pastor Stoltz, especially for the years you permitted him to be your under-shepherd, to preach your word and to administer your sacraments. Comfort Janet and their family and all of us who mourn his death. Keep us in your tender care and heal our sorrowing hearts with the balm of your holy word. Lead all of us to remember that we are mortal, and prepare our hearts to fall asleep in faith and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in you, who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, giver of all blessings, we praise you for the gift of a new life granted to these parents in the birth of a baby girl. Protect mother and daughter and shield them from anything harmful in body and soul. Give joy to these parents as they bring her for reception into your kingdom through the water and word of holy baptism, and grant her your continued blessings through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give them rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience your love at the heavenly feast which you have prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
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 The Lord be with you. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly we are bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very paschal lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Peace of the Lord be with you always. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Take
the peace of the Lord
true
be with
body.
You always. The Lord be Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give us the death for your sake. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and keep you unto eternal life. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death.
Thank you.
given into death.
We beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you.
Spirit.